Would you turn to Philippians 4? Philippians chapter 4. Praise be to God. Starting at verse 4. And can we read this together, please? Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So we're to rejoice in the Lord a couple of days, you know, just a little bit here and there. No, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be what? Be anxious for what? Wow, so some things you can be anxious for and some things you can't. No, be anxious for nothing.
Hallelujah.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. We need to tattoo our heads so everybody can remember. Oh, yeah, be anxious for nothing. Okay.
Amen.
Oh, be.
Amen.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
By what?
Prayer.
By what?
Prayer.
Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Okay, now let's back up a little. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So you see that there's a difference between prayer and supplication, isn't there? Prayer is not request. Prayer is communion. Okay, I want to talk about prayer tonight. Prayer is communion with God. It's not going, oh Lord, bless me this day. Hello? That's not prayer. Prayer is communion. Did you ever sit down and talk with someone?
Amen.
They talk back, don't they?
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is known as communion. Because it says here, but prayer and what? Supplications are requests, aren't they? Because he explains it. He says, with thanksgiving, let your what? Requests be made known to God. So he's letting you know that your supplications are requests. Sometimes we don't even have communion. How would you like to walk up to somebody and say, hey, would you give me this? And he goes, man, I don't even know you. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Oh, God, would you give me this? I don't even know you.
Amen.
So you got to have communion with God. And this can't just be every once in a while.
Amen.
You got to have communion. You got to be in the Spirit communing with God. And the one thing the devil wants you to do is move you out so there is no communion with God. So that you only come to Him for a request. Amen.
Amen.
We need to come to God and just say to Him, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for who you, I have no requests, Lord. No supplications. I just want to take this moment to say, I love you and thank you for what you're doing with me. Now you're beginning to have communion, aren't you? Because
yes.
You're going to usually hear Him say, I love you. Hallelujah. Okay, in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we see that our hearts and our minds will be guided, and they'll be guarded also. Does everybody understand that? So it says here, and the peace of God. That's the rest of God, isn't it? See, when you have peace, you have rest. That means you have trust, because you can't trust someone you don't know. So the peace of God and the rest of God is going to guard your hearts. See, because we always want to be reasoning and understanding. It says here, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, it surpasses it. It goes beyond it. It covers it so you don't begin to reason. So you don't try and figure out how God's going to answer your prayer. Oh, Lord, is it going to happen this way? Is it going to happen that way? And then when it doesn't happen the way you think it should happen, oh, God didn't hear my prayer. And then what we do is try and answer it. Maybe the Lord was sleeping. Maybe he was out on vacation. No, our Father neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he watches us and he hears us. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to read this over again, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by communion and supplications. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now the Bible tells us that he already knows what we need, doesn't he? He already knows what we need, so he's desiring communion, and he will fulfill your need. Does everybody get it? And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In other words, it's going to surpass all your carnal, all of our bonehead thoughts.
Amen.
It's going to surpass all the things that we're going to try and figure out. And we're going to have peace because it's going to guard your hearts and your minds. What will? The peace of God. Because see, you won't listen to what the voices are telling you. It's going to surpass all of that. But you first must have communion. Communion means you must walk in the Spirit. It's not just, okay, I better go talk to God this morning. It's constantly talk to Him.
Amen.
He says if you acknowledge Him, He'll guide you in all your ways. So we need constant acknowledging, don't we? You know, we got to constantly acknowledge. And let me share something with you. In other words, we always want to have a point of contact. Just a simple hallelujah. Just a simple hallelujah. You'd be driving down the road. Hallelujah. And what you're doing is tugging on Daddy's pant leg. Dad, hallelujah. You're just, you know, pulling on him, letting him know. Actually, you're letting yourself know. You're keeping yourself in the Spirit. Because the devil's trying to push you into the natural realm, isn't he? Amen. So every once in a while, just a hallelujah makes that connection, doesn't it? It keeps your focus on the Lord. Because as soon as you lose your focus off the Lord, it goes on the things of the world. Most of the times it goes on us. Me, myself, and I. Amen? So we want to always keep that tug of hallelujah. Hallelujah, what's happening? Hello, Lord, thank you. Amen? So we want to have that communion. So we don't want to be anxious for anything. When something comes across our path, we don't want to be anxious for anything. Most of the time when we're anxious for something, we move ahead of God. And that's what I shared before. Good deals turn to be piles of good deals. And they're not God deals. Amen? And not only that, in this communion with God, God will always give you confirmation. In other words, when there's something coming across your path or something that's going on, you'll go to the Lord and you'll speak to Him. You'll say, and you'll tell Him, Lord, I want Your perfect will. I don't. If it's not of You, Lord, and if it is, I'll give me confirmation. And He'll impart something in your heart. And He'll give you confirmation that this is it. Does everybody get it? But unless there's a constant communion with Him, how are you going to know? You'll end up missing those confirmations. Amen?
Amen?
Just like when the Lord said, buy a house. And I said, okay, I was walking by a house and He said, I want you to buy, He said to me, are you going to pass by this house? I said, why? You want me to buy this house? He says, yes. I want you to put a bid in this house. And I said, all right, Lord, you're going to have to tell my wife. So I came home and I was sitting on the couch and I said, well, Lord, if you want to buy this house, what am I supposed to bid on it? And He said, open the Word. And I turned to Isaiah 66 and I said, do you want me to bid 66,000? He said, yes. I said, can I have more confirmation? He said, read the first scripture. And it said, when will you build my house? I said, whoa! Okay, the next thing I know is midnight, my wife comes out, wakes up from bed. She comes out in the living room. And I said, what are you doing up? She says, I don't know. I said, I know. I said, hon, And I shared with her. She said, okay. And she went back to bed. That was that. We ended up putting a bid in for $66,000 for a house. And somebody else put in a bid for $66,000 and we got the house.
Amen.
Amen? Because it was a God deal.
Amen.
Not a good deal. Amen. A God deal. Amen. So many times we're looking for such a good deal that we're afraid of finances that God won't supply the money.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And said if we'll go to the God deal, He supplies the money.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So that won't happen unless you're in prayer or you're in communion with Him. Because not only is it about hearing His voice, it's about understanding His voice. Does everybody get it? Because He speaks to me and you in impressions. He impresses in us. And when He impresses something in your heart, the Holy Spirit takes it and begins to work with your soul, your mind, to interpret what He is trying to bring. Does everybody get it? That's why we must renew our mind by the Word of God. Amen. So we can learn the language of God. You wouldn't go up to somebody and try and understand what they're saying if they're Spanish and you've never spoken in Spanish. Now, of course, I would try to pray in the Spirit and get it, but, you know. But you wouldn't, you know, and so it takes a little time. In other words, what you would have to learn is their gestures, wouldn't you? Sometimes somebody can speak another language you don't understand, but you know their gestures. Man, that person, in other words, if they're waving to you, they're not telling you, get lost, buddy. They're telling you, hi, or something to that degree, right? So you know a gesture. And God, sometimes when we don't understand what He's saying, He imparts in us a gesture.
Amen.
So we've not only got to know what He's saying, but we've got to understand what He's saying. Does everybody understand this? Okay. And when we miss those two things, we fall into a circumstance because we just miss His gesture and what He tried to tell us. And the circumstance brings a rescue or a fall, because we missed what He was trying to say. Amen. It could bring trouble. So you and I must first start off in communion with God. Amen. Now we must have our own personal communion with God and our own personal prayer. Because if you are not in marriage with Christ, it's difficult to be in marriage with anybody else.
Amen.
Amen. If you're not in fellowship with Christ, it's difficult to be in fellowship with anyone else. Amen. And of course, the devil always wants to remove people from fellowship. So you must be in fellowship with God. You must have a communion, your own personal communion with God, because you can't go on anybody's shirt tails.
Amen.
Amen. You can't go by other people's prayer. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Your husband can't bring you home. Your pastor can't bring you home. Your teachers and your friends can't bring you home. Only God can bring you home. And it's like I share with everybody. You better know the cab driver when he comes to pick you up. That cab driver better bring you the King of Glory. Right. Amen. Now turn to Psalm 23, please. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I love when I have a lot of notes on all this stuff and the Holy Spirit just says, oh, just wipe all that out for now, guy, and we'll just go somewhere else. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. In verse 1, can we read this together, please? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, that sounds something personal, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is not your friend's shepherd, your spouse's shepherd. He's your shepherd. Hello? If He is your shepherd, your life is no longer your life. It's His life. And if it's His life, then you got to understand that He's going to take care of His life, isn't He? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not, what?
Want,
which means lack. So if you have communion in God, you know that you won't lack anything. The Bible says that we won't have to beg for bread. Amen? So please understand in this personal prayer, this personal communion. In fact, the word communion means koinonia in Greek, which means communion with God. The word koinonia. And we have communion, don't we? We take the wine or the juice, because we don't drink wine. We take the juice and the bread, and we acknowledge this as communion with God also, isn't it? Because we're partaking, and we're remembering what He has done for us by those elements. So we must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we must maintain that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And what happens is the devil likes to push you out of that personal relationship and bring you into a corporate relationship. Does everybody understand that? Or a partner relationship. And he loves, the devil works on that. And then the next thing we know we're waiting on somebody else to tell us what God said instead of finding out what God is telling us. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So it's so important when you break that personal relationship with God, we lose contact. We lose contact. And we must maintain that. Now, don't get me wrong. So there is that personal relationship with God. Then we have that partner relationship. Okay? And when God usually, there's usually somebody like either a spouse or a partner, somebody that you know that you can call and pray with. Because the Word tells us, when two touch and agree, what you ask shall come to pass. Now that means you must agree. Now understand this. We get prayer requests, right, that come in. People write prayer requests. I pray over those requests and I say, Lord, I touch and agree with these requests that are according to your will. I'm not going to touch and agree with someone's request that is not according to his will. I had a woman call me on the phone one day and wanted me to pray all the, touch and agree with. She was praying, she was saying all these things. Will you touch and agree? My husband does this. And I said, no. What do you mean? Oh, she was upset with me. I said, I am not going to touch and agree on anything that is not according to my Father's will. And what you're praying right now is witchcraft. You're trying to control your husband, lady. I said, and you need to start praying to God that he draws, that God draws him. She was wanting him to do all these things with finances and all this stuff. That's witchcraft. That's controlling. We want God's perfect will, so I would not touch and agree. She hung up on me. Amen? But the Word tells us in Matthew 18, 19, let's turn there for a second. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let's go to Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow. Now, first of all, you better be right with God. Now, there are guidelines to this, isn't there? This is why we want to have a guideline to prayer tonight. You can't just be walking out of the will of God and go pray. Would you touch and agree with me? It ain't going to work. Does everybody get it? Turn to John 9. Hallelujah. John chapter 9. And verse 31. Would you read that with me? John 9 and 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Hello? So if you're out of the will of God, until you come to repentance and reconcile with God, He is not that He doesn't hear your prayer. He doesn't, I mean, He's everywhere, doesn't He? But in representation of the writing, so that we would understand, it says that He doesn't hear the prayer, but what He's saying is He's not listening to your prayer, or He's not going to answer your prayer. Amen? So it says that, now we know that God does not hear sinners. Go ahead. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. Does everybody get it? So there's two things involved. A worshiper and one who does His will. See, if you can't do His will unless you are a worshiper, because you need the anointing of God to do His will. Amen? See, you can sit there and read the Bible all day long and not do His will. You can have fellowship with the letter and not the spirit. And that's where people get bound to religion. And the Bible says the letter killeth and the spirit brings life. So you can sit there and quote scriptures all day long. then ain't nothing happening. Amen? Why? Because God hears those who are worshipers and doing His will. Hallelujah. So we see that there is not only private, personal relationship in prayer, there is partnership too. We just talked about touching and agreeing, right? And we just shared that unless you're doing His will and you're a worshiper, He's not hearing your prayer. Now there's also corporate. The Bible says that when there's a threefold core, which is hard to break. And we know that there's corporate prayer. We know that there's more power in numbers, isn't there? The Bible tells us that 1,000 will fall at our side, right? And 10,000. In other words, one caused legion to flight, 1,000 to flight, but two caused legions to flight. So when two touch and agree. So we see that there's power in corporate prayer. That's why when there's something going on, people call, say, listen, we need to lift this individual up. That's why when we come together, we pray, right? The Bible tells us, forsake not to assemble, right? And we need not to forsake assemble because there are certain things that you just can't do. Sometimes when we're struggling with something, you can't get a breakthrough by yourself. Amen? So we need to call somebody and touch and agree or help pray. Or we need to put a prayer request through a corporate. So it's important. Amen? So we see that there are three phases of prayer. There is individual, there's partner, and there's corporate. Okay? Three phases of prayer. Now, there are different types of prayer. And there are certain ways of prayer. Amen? But we're going to just touch on whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to tonight. Hallelujah. Now, to God be the glory. I want to go to Luke 11. Hallelujah. And Luke chapter 11, is everybody there? Praise God. I know we've talked about this before, but we got to go over this again. In verse 1, now it came to pass as he was praying, who's he?
Jesus.
In a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now he was giving them a guideline, wasn't he? Now what he was asking was, please teach us how John taught his disciples. Amen? And he said, do this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is he doing? He's acknowledging Father. That means relationship. You wouldn't just call somebody off the street Father, would you? In fact, you wouldn't call a relative Father. Amen? There's only one Father. And that's your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen? Now we know that we have an earthly Father that God has put over us. And there's nothing wrong with calling Him Father. God acknowledges that. But He doesn't acknowledge the reverence that we're to give to Him. Does everybody understand that? We do not look at our fathers as God. We look at our Heavenly Father as God. Because He is. Hallelujah. That's plain and simple. Glory to God. Okay. Now, he said, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Now we know that his kingdom is a representation of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. So what are we saying? Lord, your kingdom come. In other words, the fullness of your kingdom not only come on earth as it is in heaven, but the fullness of your kingdom be manifest in me. That I may walk in power and bring glory to your name. Amen? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, you got to understand something. Not only does he feed us physically, but we want bread from heaven in Revelation, which is encouraging to us, isn't it? It's strengthening our spirit, man. And forgive us our sins or our trespasses. In other words, forgive me. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and we got to forgive others. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we see here that he's even acknowledging Satan. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver me from the snares of the wicked one. Amen? Praise God. Let's go on. Now, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now you must understand something. First of all, you must acknowledge that he acknowledged him as his friend. That means there's a relationship there. Does everybody get it? He's not just going to your neighbor and pounding on his door. And someone that doesn't know you. Or just acquaintances. Friends are not acquaintances in the spirit, are they? In fact, Jesus said, you are no longer my servants, but you are my friends. If you do the will of God. Amen? So we see here, he's not just talking about anybody. And this is where people get confused. They expect God to be persistent on seeking God, but they have no relationship, and then they expect the answer to come. Amen? And it may not be God's will. And sometimes that answer will come because they're persistent, and it may lead them into trouble. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Whoa. All right. So we see here he acknowledges friend. That means that we've got to have a relationship. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So we see that there is 3 phases, isn't there? We first must what?
Ask.
That means you must speak. You must have communion. Then you must seek, and then you must knock. In other words, if you're in fellowship with God, when you ask, the Bible tells us you already have it. Does everybody understand that? Because that desire came from God for you to get it. Amen? As long as it's not your own desire, but it's the desire for the Lord. In other words, if you delight yourself in God, He's going to give you your desires, but it's going to actually be His desires that are in you. So when you go and ask, you're asking according to the will of God. Now he says, I want you to seek. Now I want you to continue to seek him so that you can watch in prayer and get direction of where it's at or what you must do. Then he leads you to the place, and when you knock on that place or whatever it is, the door will open to you. Does everybody get it? In other words, the Lord put in my heart about something because I delighted myself in him. So he put in my heart about something he wanted to do. So I asked. And I kept seeking. And I kept seeking. Finally, I got to the point where, okay, Lord, if this is you, please show me. Then he led me to the place. I knocked and the door was open.
Amen.
Amen. So if the door was shut, then I would have known, okay, no problem. There's another door. So this is where we must have relationship. The bottom line is having constant relationship, constant fellowship. Or you're not in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. And you get bound to religion. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is explaining this to them, right? And they're asking him how to pray, aren't they? And he's giving them how John taught his disciples. He's teaching them, speaking to them in a common language, isn't he? He's telling them, okay, here's a guideline for prayer. Acknowledge God as your Father. Ask for forgiveness, forgive others, and so forth. What are these he's doing? He's trying to keep us in communion, isn't he? And he gives them an example about being persistent, but having a relationship with him in friendship, knowing his will. And as you're persistent, and persistent doesn't mean just, oh Lord, give me this. Oh Lord, your word says this. Oh Lord. Persistent means persistent in seeking him. Does everybody understand that? You're not to go after the prize. You're supposed to go after the one who is the rewarder. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 10. For everyone who asks receives. So that's automatic. And he who seeks what? Finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Can you imagine your father coming out with a scorpion instead of a scrambled eggs? If you then being evil, now he's talking about the carnal man, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I mean, this is powerful. What did Jesus do? He led them all the way down and gave them examples, brought them encouragement, showed them how to maintain a relationship, and then what was the first thing they said? Teach us how to pray. Who did he introduce them to? The Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? He taught, he said, listen, do this. Here's a guideline, but I'm going to show you how to pray. And he introduced them to the Holy Spirit and how to pray. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Praise God. I like this. Okay. Now go to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. And verse 26. Let's read this together. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit. What Spirit? Amen. Also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. Now, wasn't Jesus introducing them to the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Whoa. So would you say praying in the Spirit brings the will of God?
Amen.
Wow. Now, we just read a little while ago that by doing the will of God and being a worshiper, our prayers get answered. Jesus showed the example when they asked Him how to pray. He gave them a guideline and He introduced them how to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Pray in the Spirit. This is how you pray. Praise be to God. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's go to Corinthians. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians. In chapter 14. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is what's so important, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Hallelujah.
That the Spirit of the Lord is so desiring to pray through you. The perfect will of God. He's so desiring to pray through you and me. That's why it's so important to pray in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? And only the devil would not want you to pray in the Spirit. And that's where that fight is at. Amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let's read this together, please. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, praise God. Because Paul was looking for edification of the church, wasn't he? But he said, earnestly desire the gifts. And verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Praise God. But mysteries are hidden things, isn't it? Mysteries is something that is hidden. You know what that is? The will of God. It's hidden for you. Especially for you.
Amen.
So you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God.
Amen.
So God, by the Spirit, so desires me and you to pray in tongues. And it's for every believer.
Amen.
And it's too bad that the spirit of error has entered into the body of Christ and brought division over gifts. It's too bad that there's not the discernment of the spirit of error, that demonic spirit that prevents people from getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues. Amen? Because the devil does not want you to pray in tongues. And I'm not going to do a teaching on tongues tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation to and comfort to men. In other words, corporately. And verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So don't you think you need a little edification?
Yes.
Now, go to verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now you got to understand that he was trying to edify the church here. This is a letter to the church. Amen. So praying in tongues, the Bible just said that by praying in tongues, we're praying the perfect will of God, aren't we? So you're walking out the interpretation of praying in tongues by walking in perfect will. Does everybody understand that? Okay, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation? So we see the tongues comes by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. Hallelujah. So understand this, that you are praying directly to God when you pray in tongues and you're praying the perfect will of God and you're edifying yourself by praying in tongues. You are stirring yourself up. Because you don't have to think, don't you ever go to prayer and go, man, what am I supposed to pray? Uh-oh, let's see, how do I pray now? Our Father, who art in heaven, let me use this guideline, oh Daddy. You just start praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost will give you what to pray.
Amen.
You just pray in the Spirit. In the morning you wake up, good morning, Holy Ghost. Help me pray. Quicken me. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Start praying in the Spirit. He'll start stirring you up.
Amen.
You're already starting your prayer. You're already acknowledging the Lord. Because when you wake up in the morning, the devil's at your bed, at the end of your bed, with a list telling you what you need to do that day, and you need to kick that list out of his hand and start praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now turn to Jude. Glory. I'm telling you, we're not going to do a teaching on tongues. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verse 20, can we read this together, please? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now that does not, listen, I got to tell you something. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. Praying with the understanding is not praying in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hear your prayer. Hello? Does everybody understand that? In other words, praying in your common language does not mean that God doesn't hear your prayer. But it does not mean that you're praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, it was no understanding.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? So when people, when I say to go to people, I say, you pray in the Spirit? Yeah. I just prayed. Oh, Father, who art in heaven. That's not praying in the Spirit. Because you're praying with the understanding. Praying in the Spirit, there is no understanding. You're out of the way, thank God. Amen?
Amen?
So it says here in Jude 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Don't you think we need faith?
Amen.
It's faith that pleases God. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now look what it says. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, so we see that praying in the Spirit keeps us in the love of God, doesn't it? Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. So you and I must pray in the Spirit. A guideline to prayer. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how you begin your day.
Amen.
And then the Spirit will quicken you to pray with the common language or with understanding. When you pray with understanding, it's bringing comfort to your mind.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? And there's nothing wrong with bringing comfort to your mind. As long as you're not bringing comfort to your mind all day. Hello? You need to unscrew that head and put it underneath your armpit and stick a rag in its mouth. Amen? And just start praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Amen? Pray without ceasing. So if you're going, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, you're in communion, aren't you? And then you'll find yourself going, Burrabakasata Karabia. And you start praying. And the person next to you drives up to you and thinks you're singing a funny song. Man, look at that dude speak. What did you say, bro? Hallelujah. So we need to pray in the Spirit, which means what? Praying in tongues. Glory to God. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. He didn't say the sword of the flesh or the sword of the letter. He said the sword of the Spirit. Which is the what?
Word
of God. Now he tells you, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what?
Spirit.
Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Right? So what is he saying? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. He just said pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now when the Holy Spirit quickens you to the Word, you're praying the sword of the Spirit. But first you got to pray in the Spirit. That's why a lot of people stand there and quote scriptures and nothing's happening. Because it's not the sword of the Spirit. Because you got to be in the Spirit to pray the sword of the Spirit. Amen?
Mm.
Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go a little further. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to John 16. Oh. Praise God. It was a wonderful intermission. And for you that are listening to the tape, you missed it. But it's okay. You can come to a service and hear the rest of it. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost and get the interpretation. In John 16, in verse 13, and Jesus expressed, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Well, man, it's time to get in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit so we can get the interpretation of what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen? Remember, everybody that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, all the gifts are available to all of us. No one is signified of one specific gift. Those are ministries. Amen? So you're not going to walk down the street, somebody's bleeding to death and go, let me see, I don't have the gift of healing. I better pray in the Holy Ghost. Hello? No, you go over there and you lay hands on that individual and you ask God to heal that person. But it doesn't mean that you have a healing ministry. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
I guess I better go on.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't mean that if God has given you a word of knowledge or a prophecy for someone, that you're a prophet.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't mean that your ministry is prophetic. All ministries are prophetic.
Amen.
Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Because if the Spirit of God is in your ministry, it's prophetic. If it's not, it's pathetic.
Oh,
amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So you and I need to get in the Spirit, right? So we can get the things of the Spirit. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. As an individual. That's why it's so important to have individual communion with God. You first. Amen? You first. Okay, I guess I better bring you to an example on this. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's see here. Let's go to John 17. While we're right here in part of town. Oh, okay, let's take the example of Jesus and how he prayed. I mean, isn't he an example for me and you?
Amen.
Okay. Now, here's Jesus praying. Is everybody with me? In chapter 17 is Jesus praying. Now listen to this. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified, may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, who did Jesus pray for first?
Himself.
Amen. He prayed for himself first. Amen. You better go in and get yourself together before you can get anybody else together. Hallelujah. Now, verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. What name did he keep them in? The name of Jesus. See, because God revealed his name. Those whom you have given me, I've kept them, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So Jesus prayed for his close ones, didn't he? He prayed for those that God had given him. And you and I are to do the same thing. In other words, we pray for those God given us. Our family members. Our own family, our relatives, our so forth. Those God, and there'll be those who God has given you across your path. And let me give you a quick, simple example. The Bible tells us that it's faith that pleases God. I remember that a lot of people would come across my path, and I would struggle in the morning trying to pray for each and every individual one. I mean, I could be in prayer for 2 days. And the Holy Spirit said to me, when you write down a list on a sheet of paper, why don't you give one to the Lord? And I said, okay. Because the Lord said, I pray. He didn't mention their names, did he? Amen. He said, I pray for those you've given me. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to start a spiritual list. And when I tell you to put the name on that list, hello?
Amen.
In other words, Lord, I add that individual such and such on the list you give me to pray for. Now I don't have to go through the list. Every day I say, Lord, I lift you the list you've given me to pray for. He knows who's on that list. He's God.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? Amen. Now you don't have to go rattling off all these names all day long.
Amen.
Lord, I lift you the list you've given me to pray for. Why? Because you've added them on that list. Now when the Lord puts somebody across my path and that person in touches my heart that I need to lift up in prayer, I'll say, Lord, I add this person to the list, and when you see fit, take them off. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
So when he sees fit, he takes that person off the list, and I just keep adding those who need to be on that list. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got to be, why? Because we're in fellowship with the Lord. We're in fellowship and communion and prayer with him. Now every day when I say, Lord, I lift you the list you give me to pray for, I know all of those souls are on that list and he knows what they need. Does everybody understand that? Didn't Jesus do the same thing? Lord, I lift you those you've given me. Father, I lift you those you've given me to pray for. Amen?
Amen.
So that's a shortcut where you don't spend time lifting all these individuals and you can have communion with God and intercession. Amen? Okay, now, in verse 20, is everybody there? Now he says, I do not pray for those, for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So now he's praying for the lost, isn't he? That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Amen. So we see here that he first prayed for himself, then he prayed for those that God had given him, and then he prayed for the lost. And that is your guideline and my guideline. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now, the first thing that you and I must do, we talked about, is inviting the Holy Spirit to help us pray. Amen? Of course, one of the things we want to do is give thanks to the Lord, don't we, in the morning. Thank you for another day of breath. Thank you for fulfilling my needs and so forth. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We want the next thing we want to do is apply the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the way is a representation of the cross, so you speak the blood of the Lamb. You apply the blood of Jesus. In other words, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus through the blood of the Lamb, guided by your Spirit, presenting to you my spirit, soul, and body and all of my members and memory. You're coming to him through the blood of Jesus. You're being sanctified. You're presenting yourself to him. Amen? In other words, you're acknowledging who he is and that you need to approach him and who he is. Every morning we need to approach him of who he is, acknowledging and who he is. He is God Almighty. And when you approach a king, you approach him in the correct and right way. Does everybody understand that? Everybody is prepared to approach the king. Amen? And he is not only our father, he is a king. and He's honored, and we must honor Him, and we must honor His presence and who He is. So we approach Him and we present ourselves to Him through the blood of the Lamb every day. Amen? Praise God. Now as we approach Him and we acknowledge Him and we pray in the Spirit and we're stirring ourselves up, the next thing we must do is take dominion. Does everybody understand that? Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Simple guideline to prayer. Hopefully we can get it all in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, right? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we see here that these things that are exalting themselves, these arguments are in our mind, aren't they? They're in our mind. Somebody get it? It says, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. So you and I must take dominion. Father, I cast down every thought and imagination that will come against the knowledge of You, binding my mind in the mind of Christ. Does everybody get it? Why? You want to bind your mind in the mind of Christ because the Bible tells us that God has given us the keys of binding and loosening. Amen? So we want to bind our minds in the mind of Christ, don't we? And we want to cast down every thought and imagination. Does everybody understand that? Yourself. I'm casting down my thoughts and imaginations. I'm binding my mind in the mind of Christ. And you go back to praying in the Spirit. Is everybody with me? What you're doing is beginning to do warfare. You're attacking the devil before he can attack you. Because he's trying to get to you. He's trying to bring you, remind you of that list. He's trying to move you out of position so that you don't pray. He's trying to move you out of position so that you can't intercede. He's trying to move you out of position so you can't get dressed with the full armor of God. He's trying to move you out of position so He's not bound that day.
Amen.
So you've got to go to prayer. You've got to.
Amen.
Every morning, you've got to. That is your duty. And it is your priesthood. And you must be disciplined to go to prayer.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Whether it feels good or it doesn't. It's not about a feeling. I don't care if you go to prayer and you do spiritual warfare for that day and you intercede for others and you didn't hear a word from God. You went to prayer.
Amen.
God will take care of the rest.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
But I didn't get goosebumps in prayer. So what? It's better than flames of fire.
Amen.
I'd rather have nothing than fire.
Amen.
Hello? Just think if you didn't pray. Where we'd be. We have enough problems.
Amen.
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 And if you're not going to God first,
Amen.
You're going to the devil.
Amen.
And don't even know it. Because see, the Bible tells us that we must deny ourselves daily.
Amen.
So every morning you must deny yourself and go to prayer. By yourself.
Amen.
By yourself. Then you go to partner or corporate. But you must first go by yourself.
Amen?
Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. So we must cast down those thoughts and imaginations. Amen? Praise God. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further here. Now we're praying in the Spirit and we're casting down thoughts and imaginations, we're doing spiritual warfare, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Hopefully we're doing this spiritual warfare. To God be the glory. Now, what we want to do now, if we're binding and loosening, God has given us the keys of binding. How about binding the principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places coming against your prayers?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So that your prayers are, so before you even start interceding, that the powers of darkness are bound so that the angels that are carrying your prayers are not hindered.
Amen.
So what you're doing, you're attacking the devil before he can attack you. How about call fire down from heaven on the powers of darkness that are coming against you that day? How about asking the Lord to snare the devil in his own trap?
Amen.
What are you doing? You're Lord, lead me not into temptation, right? But deliver me from the hands of the evil one. but you're doing the spiritual warfare. If you're not doing warfare, remember we have a teaching called, if you're not in the battle, you're a casualty.
Yeah.
And you got to get in the battle, and part of the battle is prayer. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Keep praying in the Spirit. You know, there's nothing wrong with then asking God, asking for wisdom and knowledge and understanding.
Amen.
You got to ask to be filled with the Spirit, don't you?
Amen.
You want to be filled with the Spirit so that you can become one with Him. These are things that we need to do every day. We need to ask to be filled with the Spirit. We have a Welcome to the Kingdom of God card that helps guideline a little bit. You know, you need to read those deliverance prayers and those daily confessions. You need to break those curses off of you and your family every day. You need to loose yourself. You need to do those things. That daily deliverance prayer should be a part of your prayer. It should be in your spirit. You don't have to read it verbatim after a period of time, because if it's in your spirit, you're breaking those things off. Amen? Especially loosing yourself from self-imposed curses. When you come to God, you need to ask for repentance of things that you thought, things that you spoke, and things that you did, things that He told you to do you didn't do, things that you said you were going to do and didn't do brings a self-imposed curse. Amen? You need to repent from all those things and break them off of you.
Yes.
See, the Bible says, who can approach the mountain of God but He who has a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands? So we must approach Him in holiness. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel 12. This is the prophet Samuel speaking. He was praying for the king. And in verse 23 it says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you." Amen? Now listen, in verse 23 it says, if I should cease praying, it is sin. Do you understand that? So if you're not praying, you're sin. It's sin. You're sinning. It is sin not to pray. Does everybody get it? It's sin not to pray. Not only that, we usually end up picking more sin. We pick up more sin, right? Because we don't have fellowship. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody there? Let's go start at verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Verse 22, read it together. "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do things that are pleasing in His sight." Ooh. So we want to do His commands and be pleasing in His sight. In other words, we know that we are receiving from Him. In other words, He's hearing. Amen. He's hearing. So we want to be pleased. We must pray. We must have communion with Him. Amen? Okay. Now, I want to share a couple things that, there's a lot to this, and we don't have all night. In prayer, as you're praying in the Spirit, you begin to, in other words, the Lord knows what you need. And as you lift up those souls that He's given you to pray for and any specific needs, and you take dominion over, in other words, you ask Him to draw them to Him. Does everybody understand that? You don't have to be so specific that, they need this, they need that. God knows what they need. Amen? You ask the Lord to draw them to Him, and you ask His perfect will to manifest in their life. Unless the Holy Spirit specifically quickens you to an individual and a specific prayer. Does everybody understand that? But you must have a general prayer every day. There must be a general guideline. We might call it a ritual. Fine. That ritual is going to save lives. Amen? I know that my prayer every day, and everybody usually knows, I lift up those that are contemplating abortion and suicide and backsliding and dying and headed on the way to hell. Women and children are being abused, and those that are being persecuted for His name's sake. Those bound by drugs and alcohol, prostitution and homosexuality. I lift that up to them every day. Lord, You know who they are. And I take dominion over, as I bind the powers of darkness and loose them and so forth. Amen? So God will give everybody a specific prayer. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Israel. You know, bless the Jewish, bless those who are persecuting and using you. Amen? Now there are certain things that hinder our prayer and hinder an answer from God. And the first thing is, and I'm going to give you the scripture, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. It's called unforgiveness. They hinder your prayers. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. The second thing that hinders our prayers is an unrepentance. Unrepentance. In other words, you better forgive others, but you better repent for yourself for the things that you've done. Amen. And that's John 9:31. Another thing that hinders our prayers is seeking not with a true heart or a pure heart. Not seeking with a true heart. Not going after God. Remember when the angel showed up to Daniel and he said, the moment you put your heart towards God and understanding, God heard you. And that's in Daniel. Amen. Well, this here is in Deuteronomy 4:29. I just gave you another example. Deuteronomy 4:29, seek with a true heart. Hallelujah. Another thing that hinders our prayer is lack of faith. And that's in Hebrew 11:6. In other words, when you are interceding and you're praying for something, if you faint, the Bible tells us as long as you don't faint, and as long as you're not faint-hearted, amen, that it's coming. It's when you give up that you miss it. Does everybody understand? So if you know that God has told you something, you hold on to it.
Amen.
If you give it up, you'll miss what God has shared, what told you. So you can't lose faith. Amen? You can't lose faith. If God has given you a dream, don't lose sight. It will come to pass. But it ain't going to come to pass if you ain't walking in God's will. Amen? You got to walk in God's will. That straight and narrow path. You know, people have got prophecies given to them. And they think that, well, okay, this prophecy has been given to me. I can go do whatever I want. It's got to come to pass. No, it don't. Not unless you're in God's will. That's why people run from one place to another looking for a word for the Lord. And when people start giving them the true word of the Lord, it says, repent and turn your ways and get back into the will of God, and the word of the Lord that was given to you before will come into place.
Amen.
Instead of tickling ears. Hallelujah. The other thing, the fifth thing I want to talk about that hinders prayer is not praying God's will. That's why we must delight ourselves in Him, that He gives us the desires to pray His will. Does everybody understand that? We want to pray God's will. Amen? And that's in James 4:3. Prayer is not according to the will of God. Now, the Bible tells us that if we have something against our brother, and we haven't forgiven them, of course, but one of the things it talks about is need healing between a husband and wife. If there is discord between a husband and wife, now this is for you guys that are, and women that are down the road, and this is 1 Peter 3:7. If there's discord between a husband and wife, it hinders your prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. That's why he says don't go to sleep. Amen. If you don't go to bed unless you've settled something. Amen. And the second thing is Isaiah 58. I mean, the seventh thing is Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Hallelujah. Now, it starts at verse 6 and it says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And the fast is a representation of sanctification. Being separate unto God. In other words, if we still got one foot in the world and one foot with God, some of our prayers are not being, they're being hindered, they're not being answered. Amen? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you clothe him or cover him, and not hide your face from your own flesh. In other words, search your own self out. Hello? Don't, in other words, don't Don't go around plucking the thorn out of somebody else's eye when you have the National Grand Forest in your own.
Amen.
Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall come, shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. They shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Hello? If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. Wow.
Hallelujah.
And satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, in other words, and the rivers of living water shall flow through you. And like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? So there are certain things that will hinder our prayers. Amen? And we must, let me just repeat these quickly. 1, unforgiveness. 2, unrepentance. 3, seek without a pure heart. 4, lack of faith. 5, not praying God's will. 6, not having a healing between a spouse or somebody else. Amen? 7, not being sanctified unto God. Still pointing the finger and accusing. Amen? And you got to also understand, it's also a representation of a proudful heart. Someone who's prideful. God will humble you. One of the things that will humble you is He won't answer your prayer. So that you finally have to cry out to Him. Amen? God hears a broken heart, doesn't He? You know, when we were first crying out to God and asking help, He heard us, didn't He? Because we came to Him broken. Then as He begins to answer our prayers, we become haughty. We become prideful. And we just expect. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times when we need to go back to God with a broken heart again.
Amen.
Lord, forgive me. You know why? Because then we begin to trust in our own prayers instead of Him. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
We begin to trust in our own prayers. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples when they went out casting out devils. Remember we talked about that. When Jesus sent them. Well, they started casting out the devils, and then that one they couldn't cast out. Why? Because they began to trust in their own strength. And you can trust in your own prayers instead of trust in the one who's hearing them. So we got to be careful. You know, all the things that hinder prayers, not doing God's will, right? So we must submit to God. Then we can resist the devil. Amen. We want to submit to God's authority and what He's given us. We want to stay humble. We want to walk in the will of God. We don't want things that hinder prayer, but you know what? We've got to go to prayer every morning. Every morning you must start your day going to prayer. Well, I'm too busy, then get up earlier. You've got to, you know, Jesus said to them, His disciples, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Yes, we're busy. Everybody's busy. I'm busy. Everybody. Who isn't busy? People busy themselves. You know? They try and keep themselves busy. We need to go to Daddy. Every day. We need to go to Daddy. So that He can guide our path and go before us as a consuming fire. And He can protect us as a rear guard. Amen? Remember, without prayer, nothing happens. Without prayer, nothing happens. You know, one of the things that happened to Saul, who became Paul, and there was Stephen being stoned by Saul. And you know what he prayed to God? Forgive him. And Saul became Paul, a powerful man of God. Amen. So we need to stay in that fine line, that narrow path, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Amen? I remember one day the Lord showed up to me and He said, what can you do that I can't? So many people think, well, I got to go do this to this person. I got to go witness to this person. You know what? Don't you dare go unless God sends you.
Amen.
See, prayer, you know how the air military is? Amen? They first send the airstrike before they send in the troops. Without an airstrike, the troops will be defeated. Hello? Your prayers are the airstrike.
Amen.
You must do your own airstrike before you go out anywhere. If you don't do your own airstrike every morning, you're going out naked. You must put on the full armor of God and you ask the Lord to dress you. Lord, dress me and fill me with your presence, with your glory, with your love, your compassion, your mercies, your grace, your truth, your righteousness, peace, joy, faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Dress me and fill me with the cloak of humility, the armor of light, divine nature, your countenance, and let your face so shine upon me. Amen?
Amen.
You go ask Him to dress you and fill you. You're going to Him in total surrender. Lord, I am undone. I am an undone man without you. I'm an undone child without you. I am nothing without you.
Amen.
He said, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. We must. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. You've got to go to the secret place every morning. Well, it may not feel like the secret place. Well, how come nothing happened in prayer? Something happened. You're still here. Hello? Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we repent for lack of prayer. And we ask that you continue to draw us towards you and fill us and empower us and give us the strength to come to you every morning and seek you, Lord, knowing that you're faithful to fulfill, to guide, to protect, to uplift and to encourage and to strengthen each and every one of us. Lord, help us and guide us. Help us to tarry with you 1 hour a day, that we may live in your image and likeness and in power, so that we would be about your business and truth and power to be a light and a salt to this world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.